This is Big 3 IGP.
Catchers in the league going in every week, racking them points up. Who got the streak? Cause we joking it, having some fun. Yeah, this how the crew getting it done. I'm talking Josh, Adam, and Bobby, making waves like a tsunami. Hard hitting, the IR's real. This football, yeah, you know the deal. Cause it's all about the defense and the TDs. Yeah, this is Big 3 IDP.
What's up, you diehards, you degenerates, you lovers of defensive football? This is Josh Raymer, and we are back with another episode of the Big 3 IDP podcast. And if you listened last week, you know that we split up the top 24 DBs. 1 through 12 was last week, and here on this beautiful Monday, we are dropping 13 to 24 in the feed. Of course, we have our two-year birthday coming up on Wednesday with our flag plant episode that we are very much looking forward to, but we wanted to give y'all a little something-something here to start off your week, just like we did with the defensive end ranking episode. So we're going to hit on 13 to 24. First up, we got a fun breakdown of District 4's rookie draft from the IDP Hunger Games. So without further ado, take it away, Josh and Adam. All right, Daddy, let's talk about the rookie draft for District 4. This one is headlined by, This one is Snark Pilot, one of our favorites on Twitter. He is the commissioner of our District 4 league, Tim Kirkland. We love Snark Pilot. He has been awesome to work with and get to interact with as we put together these listener leagues for the IDP Hunger Games. And so we're going to break down District 4 and give a little recap here of what we think of this rookie draft. This one looks a little different than what it did in District 2.
I will say something I'm noticing. Jamin Davis has overtaken Micah Parsons.
That's right. This is the second draft in a row where we've seen Jamin Davis go above Micah Parsons.
Interesting.
And look, I love me some Jamin Davis. We're going to hear about him very soon on an upcoming episode. But Micah Parsons is still the Dynasty LB1.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So let's break it down. This is District 4's rookie draft. We are starting right off the top. And I will say there's some good team names here. So Chris Moreno goes with Najee Harris. This is where we saw our league go as well, with Harris at the 101. Zane Williams goes with Kyle Pitts at the 102. Austin Link goes with Jamar Chase. So the second draft in a row here, we've seen Jamar Chase go at the 103. Odell's number two goes with Javonte Williams. He's there again at the 104. And then we have Devontae Smith sneaking in from Joey the Tooth at 105. Shama Lama Ding Dong goes with Jalen Waddle. So Waddle goes a little higher here than we've seen him go in previous drafts. She gives Woodhead, Mike Abbott, loving that team name. That's going to get us canceled. Goes Travis Etienne at the 107. TB Thunder goes Jamin Davis at the 108. Bill Copeland goes Trevor Lawrence. Third draft in a row we've seen Trevor Lawrence in the first round. Micah Parsons at 110 to Team 6. Team 6, get that team name figured out there, bro.
Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing.
And then Salary Virgins goes with Trey Lance at the 111. And then Tim Kirkland, the commish, goes with Rashad Bateman at the 112.
Beautiful. Beautiful value.
I would say here the one that surprises me the most is seeing Jalen Waddle, because I feel like even though this was a highly regarded wide receiver that, you know, landed in a nice situation in Miami, people, it seems like, are starting to waffle on Waddle a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And also Devontae Smith. I mean, we haven't heard a ton about Smith. I don't know. I mean, the guys that we've heard the hype about really been Rashad Bateman and Elijah Moore.
Yep. Agreed.
But, you know, that could all change, but I don't like Devontae Smith's quarterback situation right now. I don't like Jalen Hurts. I don't think that he's going to make, I don't think he's going to be good for his receivers for fantasy purposes. And I don't know. I just think that, you know, he could be in like a quarterback limbo for a few years. Rashad Bateman, I mean, obviously the knock there is that he's, you know, the volume is not going to be there. But I think you could see a large target share for Rashad Bateman and you know, less for Mark Andrews and what's his face?
Oh, Hollywood.
Hollywood Brown, right?
And you got Sammy Watkins there now, the Lizard King.
Yeah, but I just feel like Rashad Bateman's like the type of talent where Lamar just going to pump with targets, which is kind of what he has done with Mark Andrews.
And consider that maybe Lamar Jackson hasn't thrown it a lot because he's not had a lot of great receiving options.
Yeah.
You know, it's a chicken and egg sort of thing where maybe he just needed a guy like Bateman.
Yeah.
And a third receiver like Sammy Watkins to come in. Like, Sammy's never going to be the wide receiver one for a team, but as the wide receiver three.
Yeah, he's solid.
Hey,
he's better on the block.
Better for Lamar than what he has had previously. So
yeah, they had like Willie Snead.
Yeah, last year. Willie Snead, who on the Athletic Football Show, Robert Mays was saying, basically they use Willie Snead like a fullback. His main job in the offense was to be like a lead blocker, essentially. Yeah. So
okay. Well, that makes sense.
That's your wide receiver two for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to learn a lot about Lamar Jackson, I think, this season. And if I was a betting man, I would put money on him as MVP odds right now.
Yeah, I like that call. I think Lamar's going to set the league on fire again.
We've seen him do it, and now he's got better weapons, so he hopefully won't have to depend on his feet as much as he did that rookie season. But yeah, I don't see any outrageous, egregious picks here in the first round. Nothing that makes me, you know, kind of scratch my head. It is interesting though, Jamin Davis having overtaken Micah Parsons. I feel like that's just a projection thing right now of crowded linebacking room.
Yes.
You know, between Jalen Smith, LVE, Keanu Neal, Micah Parsons. And then, you know, we talked about on the last episode as well, Jabril Cox.
Yeah.
So it's a crowded room. I get it. So that's probably why I was thinking about this. When you have a draft, because they were asking on the Underdog or on the Athletic Football Show with Josh Norris, they said, why are people fading Will Fuller so much? He's going as like pick 94 or something, like really, really late in the wide receiver ADP. And I got to thinking, I think it's because when we draft guys, we want to have them play week one, right? Like, it'd be like saying, okay, you got this great Christmas present, but you can't open it till New Year's Day.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, I'll probably just take the lesser present that I can open like week, you know, on December 25th. Right. And with Will Fuller, we know he has the one game suspension. He's not going to be out there week one. So he's just going to be sitting on your bench. We are pretty confident Micah Parsons is going to be the dude there in the linebacking core. But we know Jamin Davis is going to be dude.
I mean, yeah, the next guy is Cole Holcomb.
Yeah, old Cole.
You know, and
fresh off the farm.
And yeah, he's got LVE and Jalen Smith to deal with in Dallas. But yeah, Micah Parsons is he was drafted, you know, that high for a reason.
As Jason Moore from the Fantasy Footballers likes to say, he was drafted to be great.
Sure.
So third draft I've seen out of four where Justin Fields, he's like the pick at 201 apparently. So Justin Fields at 201, Trey Sermon, Richie Grant.
Wow.
203.
I don't think I've seen him go higher than that.
Uh-uh. Good job, Team Six. You old rascal, you. There's no identifier besides that. Then we see Zaven Collins, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter, JOK, Quiddy Pay, Rondell Moore, Terrace Marshall, Zach Wilson, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. You're seeing a lot of the same names just in like different orders here.
Wow. So Team Six actually went with Micah Parsons with his first pick, and then he took Richie Grant.
Building that, defense wins championships. Yes, sir. So we've been told. So
we salute you, brother.
And you look at like what could have been the pick besides that? I guess he could have gone Bateman. He could have gone with Lance or Fields there. Trey Sermon was still available. So I'm probably going offense.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why you could have gone 203 and then picked up Micah Parsons there, most likely.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think the move there is to try and trade back instead of selecting him that early. You know, I know how it's easier to say that than it is to do it, but that's just awful early for Richie Grant. I mean, he's a guy where the earliest I think I could see myself take him is like the end of the second, like the very end of the second.
Safeties I want in round three.
Yeah.
That just feels about right.
But I mean, you know, this guy could easily be the Jeremy Chinn of this next year.
It's true.
I mean, he's walking into just a perfect situation. So, I mean, it's I respect it. I mean, that's a safety that I want. That is my safety one.
If you're going to take a safety in the second.
Yeah. I mean, and also he got Micah Parsons, who is our linebacker one. So, I mean,
that's pretty good.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Clearly has a strategy in mind, which you have to applaud here. Round three, we see guys like Jalen Phillips, Trayvon Merrig, Nick Bolton. That's a really nice value for Nick Bolton at the 303. Could potentially be the linebacker to roster in Kansas City. We'll see how it shakes out with him and Willie Hetero. Kadarius Toney slips to the third here, which is very surprising. Nico Collins, Javon Holland, Mac Jones, Diami Brown, Andre Sisco. Haven't heard a lot about Andre Sisco.
I like Andre Sisco.
Haven't called his name a lot.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. He wasn't even drafted in the last one.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Or maybe the one before that either.
I don't think feels like the first time I've been talking about Andre Sisco.
I like Sisco though.
I know we're both thinking a thong song right now, and 100%. Can you blame us for that? Dude, that thing slaps like hard.
Really?
Oh God. Yeah. Go back and listen to thong song on the way home.
Absolutely not.
Four margs in, just enjoy the ride home.
Well, I mean, yeah, if there's ever a time to do it, tonight is the
tonight
night.
Is the night. What was his album? Enter the Dragon, I think.
Yeah. I don't know.
Man, Sisco had it going on when we were in middle school.
He was the original Odell with the platinum.
Platinum blonde hair. Yeah.
It's hot. Sisco.
So Jason Oway, Ernest Jones. Hey, I love that. You see a couple Oway should be a defensive end. So technically three linebackers in a row, but two true linebackers with Ernest Jones and Baron Browning going there. So the commish, Tim, doubles up with Ernest Jones and Baron Browning. So that's a couple nice little linebacker darts there.
I like both those guys.
Yeah. He also, of course, went with Justin Fields and Rashad Bateman. So the commish, Snark Pilot, having a nice little draft there with Bateman, Fields, Jones, and Browning. I think Browning has gone in the fourth round of every single draft. Like, he just feels like the quintessential fourth round pick.
Yep.
You also see Pete Werner here, Joe Tryon. Russo slipped to Joey at the 408 in this league.
Wow.
That's tremendous value there. I love that. We see a cornerback here go off the board. Patrick Surtain. We don't see a lot of cornerbacks going in these rookie drafts. I think we had one. I think JC Horn went in the fourth round of ours.
Monty Rice gets taken with the next pick. He's someone we haven't seen a lot of, but I mean, I really like his situation, especially after this next year when probably Jayon Brown moves on. Rashawn Evans.
Yep.
He might be, you know, his future may be a question mark. So Monty Rice has a chance to be the linebacker you want in 2022.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so to wrap up there, you know, any guys that you see, Chuba Hubbard, I think, has been taken in the fifth round of every single draft. Mm-hmm. It seems like
Kenny Gainwell there in the fifth. That's nice. Tremendous value.
Like that a lot. Chuba goes to Joey. We should mention, it looks like the name we haven't seen here. The infamous Team 6 goes with Chaz Surratt.
Yeah, wow.
That could be, you know, a dart that potentially pans out. You have to, like, ask yourself, though, when you get into that fifth, you have to, because you're still throwing darts, but with RSO specifically, some of these guys you just want as a one-year 500K dart. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I necessarily want certain guys here at the back, like, very back of the fifth. I'm not sure I want some of these guys on a locked in 4-year deal, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yes, they are cheap, but if you're on the borderline, just let a guy slide into the auction and go grab them.
Yeah. They can just, there's no issue with trading your fifth and fourth round picks. I mean, again, they are kind of pretty much dart, you know, dart throws.
The dartiest of dart throws. So, Hamza Nasir al-Din, that is a linebacker that I know John is very high on.
I like him a lot too.
Yep.
Derek Barnes also was drafted right before him. That's someone we haven't seen a lot, but he's, you know, walking into a great situation there in Detroit.
Yep. Steve Shamalama Ding Dong goes with Jacob Harris at the 506. And then Snark Pilot wraps up with Elijah Mitchell at 512. So Mitchell has been drafted in every draft so far.
No Jared Dokes. Big issue with that one.
Yep. We're going to have to talk about that. Have you heard of this Larry Roundtree character?
Yeah.
At the 501?
He's solid. I mean, you know, he's there in a great offense and, you know, with a tethered to a great quarterback. So everyone's going to be trying to, you know, get pieces of that offense now. That's why you're seeing him go there. That's why you're seeing Josh Palmer, you know, being taken in the third round now.
Jacob Harris. Is this the Rams or Chargers you're talking
about?
That was
the Chargers. Okay. But it applies with Jacob Harris too.
I was thinking both offenses are kind of sexy.
Yeah.
Like the Rams are getting a ton of love. This has been Everyone pumped the brakes on Matty Stafford week on fantasy Twitter, I've noticed.
Yeah, go be sure and listen to the latest IDP Guys episode, our very own Bob.
IDP Bob.
Yes, sir. Guest spot. Love to see it.
That's right. Talking about the Los Angeles Rams and how this pod got started and just all sorts of good stuff.
There's all kinds of nugs.
All kinds of nugs in there. All right. Well, that was District 4's rookie draft. Good job, guys.
Good job,
this
man.
Wasn't a draft that was like, what you doing there, guys?
Yeah.
They've clearly a group that's been listening to Big Three. Mm-hmm. It's been plugged in, getting their lowdown on the rookies. We're proud of you guys.
Yeah.
Team 6, get a team name.
Didn't embarrass us.
She gives Woodhead, please don't make us say that on the air anymore. We beg of you.
No better than that.
That's right. We're going to take a little break here to hear from our friends at Manscaped and Reality Sports Online, as well as a little teaser for my second book dropping on August 3rd. Y'all don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we are going to be talking about defensive backs 13 to 24 for Dynasty 1 through 12. These are a lot of the names that you recognize, not a lot of head scratchers. 13 to 24, this is where it starts to get interesting. This is where you can start to see the cream rise to the top. Does the cream rise to the top? I think it does, Addy.
Yes, sir.
Does the chaff? Okay, yeah, we're going to say the cream rises to the top. Cream. So if you want to be the cream, stick around, come back. We'll see you guys on the other side of this ad read. What's up, guys? It's Josh, and I wanted to take a quick break to tell you all about a very special project that I've been working on for close to 6 years now. Some of you may know that in addition to hosting this fine program, I'm also an author, and I released my first book, The Devil's Halo, in 2014. And coming on August 3rd, I've got the sequel coming out. The company I work for, Scribe Media, is publishing that book for me. It's called Fall of the Angels. It is a direct sequel to my first book. Some of you have already read that first book. If you haven't and you want to check it out, it's available on Amazon as an ebook and a paperback. We also have an audiobook coming out later this month that I am very excited for. But to build up some anticipation for those of you who would like to check out Fall of the Angels, I've got my audiobook narrator, Nicola Hamilton, reading the book description for the second book. Now, spoiler alert, if you do want to read the first one, you might want to skip over Nicola's reading of this description, because it does contain a pretty big spoiler for the first book. But if you're just interested in checking out the second book, don't worry about it. But I hope you all enjoy The Devil's Halo, and coming on August 3rd, I hope you will look forward to Fall of the Angels. Without further ado, Nicola, take it away.
Silas Ford is dead, but his mission to save heaven is just beginning. Fresh off his battle with the demon Malphus, Silas arrives in the afterlife to find two warring angel factions blazing a trail of death and destruction that leads straight to the throne room of God. Left to their own devices, the angels will utterly destroy heaven and threaten the safety of its inhabitants. Silas's great-great-grandfather, Augustus Shaw, the greatest Nephilim to ever live, has a plan to stop the fighting and return heaven to its peaceful state. But the fallout of his actions would irrevocably alter heaven and earth in ways Silas can scarcely fathom. With heaven hanging in the balance and Silas's hometown under siege, the clock is ticking, leaving God's newest Nephilim with a target on his back and an impossible choice to make.
Hey guys, it's Josh here, and joining me in the Sode Shack for a very special ad read is my lovely wife, Allie. Allie, say hello, dear.
Hello, dear.
Oh, you would say that. You're so smart. Well, today, guys, you know what it is. We're talking about Manscaped, and we've got a new ad read in honor of the Olympics. Allie, the Olympics are one of your favorite sporting events to look forward to every 4 years.
It is. And I mean, we didn't get them last year. So
it's true. It was devastating. The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships and concerts are all in this summer. You know what isn't, babe? Wild and Harry Bush. You've been saying this to me for weeks, and I finally believe you now that I see it in the Manscaped ad read. Tame your pubes with the help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. Babe, if an athlete treats their body like royalty, why shouldn't I treat my pubes like Olympic gold?
I agree.
Thank you. Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code BIG3IDP. Babe, you mentioned we didn't get the Olympics last year. We also didn't get to travel that much.
That's right. I mean, nobody got to go out on the beach and trim up.
And trim up, yeah. Go to the beach first and then trim up once they got there.
That's awkward.
You've been talking to some clients who've been asking about nude beaches.
Yeah, they were asking me, you know, what it's like on a nude beach or a topless beach. And I was telling them a story about my first time on a nude beach in Europe. And I got to see a lot of very hairy old Greek men.
Yes, so hairy old Greek men at the nude beaches. Manscaped is your friend this summer. The world is starting to open, and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to help you get ready. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, plus two free gifts. Performance boxer briefs, as Addy says, they make you look huge. It's a performance-enhancing pair of boxer briefs in a shed travel bag, which is low-key one of Bobby's favorite things. Talk about a world-class dismount into a post-quarantine world. This package is the perfect package for your package and peak performance in whatever sport you desire.
The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take the podium. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof
too? You didn't. You didn't mention that.
Michael Phelps is drooling just thinking about the possibilities. This package also comes with the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ear. This tool is a lock to take home gold in the biathlon.
And I know you're excited about this one because you've commented before about my nose hairs.
Yes.
It's extremely hurtful.
Well, but I just want to say that I've really enjoyed using these products.
They're great products, y'all. We're not just corporate shills. These are exceptionally made tools for not looking like an 80-year-old man with nose hair and ear hair poking out.
Yes, because that always drove me crazy.
Yeah, I know.
So the Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
When you're talking about delicate holes, you don't want nicks, snags, or tugs. And I love how it's like 9,000 RPM, 360 rotary dual-blade. It just sounds really impressive.
It does.
I don't understand of it. Bobby said 7,000 RPM motor is really good. But
we're
going to
trust him.
I'm going to take his word for it. Yeah. The dude knows cars. After trimming your pubes, show them some sportsmanship with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner are the key to feeling victorious this year. Manscaped also threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. So get 20% off plus free shipping. Whether or not you're going to the nude beach, you want to get right below the waist. So use code BIG3IDP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code
BIG3IDP
at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped. What's up, guys? Josh here with the Big 3 IDP podcast. And if you've listened to this show for any length of time, I think one episode would be enough to do it, you've heard us talk about reality sports online, or RSO. Our main league, the XFL, has been on the Reality Sports Online platform since 2016, and it very quickly became our favorite fantasy football platform by far, because we haven't found another platform that makes you feel like you're at the helm of your own team. This is the closest thing we have found to being an NFL general manager, and we absolutely love it. That's why we have partnered up with Reality Sports Online to give you a chance, if you've never been in one of their leagues, to see what all the buzz is about. This year, if you would like to start your own RSO league, you can use the promo code BIG3IDP to get 10% off the $12.99 site fee. That's BIG3IDP to get 10% off your $12.99 site fee for the year. So, what are you waiting for? With RSO, you have free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. I told y'all, it's like being an NFL GM. There's nothing you can't do. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. So, if you'd like to start your own league on the RSO platform, that's promo code BIG3IDP. It's going to get you 10% off your site fees for year one. That's promo code BIG3IDP at realitysportsonline.com. Fantasy just got real with Reality Sports Online. All right, we're back. Hope you all enjoyed that little ad break and didn't skip through. We are now going to hit y'all with the DBs 13 to 24. We did 1 through 12 last week, so go check that out.
Yes, if you sir. Missed it. Last week.
Last week indeed, a.k.a. 15 minutes ago.
No, sir. Don't you give me a peek behind the curtain. There's your separate episodes.
You don't need to see behind this curtain.
Recorded at separate times.
How many margs are behind this curtain, Addy?
Seven margs back
there. Seven margs. All have like little name badges on them.
Sure.
There's Francis. There's Timothy. I'm very proud of him.
Sir. God bless the Dago Margs.
The Dago Margs have been a welcome development in the wake of COVID. All right, Addy. We talked about a lot of the big names on the last episode. In this one, we're still going to hit some guys that you've heard of. But what I liked about as we got deeper into this list, and this is typically what happens, is this is where we start to deviate more and more from conventional wisdom. And so we're going to talk about some guys that may make you go, kind of surprised to see him in the top 24. Should I be thinking differently? Do I disagree? Why am I wrong? That's mainly going to be the thought people are having, I think. Well, let's kick things off with a player that I know one of your good buddies in IDP likes a lot. This is Justin Simmons, the safety for the Denver Broncos. So if you were wondering, he was safety 18, safety 9, safety 8. Those were Simmons' finishes in 2018, 2019, and 2020, respectively. What does this tell me, Addy? If these trends continue, we talked about this with Jamal Adams.
Your patterns.
The patterns, the constellations. This tells me Simmons has been getting better and better. He's a baller. I'm glad the Broncos finally recognized what they had and paid this man his money. Got 35 milli guaranteed. Pretty nice Skrilla if you can come by it. You know, it's a little less than what we make here annually with the big three, but it's not a bad payday. But I think right now, as much as I love Justin Simmons for the real NFL, I think he's gotten better year over year. I think he's a great sell for Dynasty right now. He'll be 28 this season. This team has added, you know, we mentioned Josie Jewell on the last pod was actually kind of decent. We know the woodchopper AJ Johnson's there. They just added Baron Browning, a linebacker prospect that we like a lot. So given the age, given the fact that this kind of steady improvement, yes, he could finish as safety 7 or better and stay on this upward trend. But something tells me he's a prime regression candidate. He's a little older. The linebacking core in front of him has gotten a little better this offseason. So I'm going to sell Justin Simmons.
Yeah, I think that's right on the money. And also, yeah, 27.6, so he should be 28 by the time the season starts. Yeah, I think the time is now. Since 2018, he has averaged 95 tackles, 4 interceptions, and 9 passes defended. Per year. He averaged 12.5 points per game in 2020, 12.2 in 2019, and 9.6 in 2018 using Big Three scoring. Did you know that Simmons played 319 snaps in the box and 144 in the slot last year?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's noteworthy to me because I think a lot of times we think of these free safeties as guys that just exclusively play deep. But that's really not the case with a lot of these types.
He tries to come up in the box and like, no, Justin, get away. Yeah. You're the deep safety.
You don't belong here, Justin.
You have cooties. It is weird to call them just exclusively by their first name as well. Cause it's like Justin. And it's like, I don't see Justin Simmons as a Justin. I see him as a Justin Simmons.
It's Justin.
Get out of here, Justin. This is where the box safeties play. You're a deep safety.
You don't belong here. You should be back there behind everything, making sure everything's safe.
You're the safety valve. If you're up here in the box, who's playing the safety valve, Justin?
Yeah, so that's just not, you know, that's a little myth. But with a lot of those types that you know, like him. So another little shout out here to my knight in shining armor, Johnny the Greek. Thank you for reminding me that Simmons has not missed a snap since 2017. Some baller shit right there, boy.
Hell yeah, it is. You got to respect a dude. I mean, just your cleat comes off or you get punched in the wee-wee and you need to take a second.
Yep.
Hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't happened. 2017.
That's crazy.
Wild. That's 3 full seasons of 100% snaps. So you know he's going to be out there.
Oh, yeah.
For redraft, still love Justin Simmons. For Dynasty, I think he's a great sell. All right. Number 14 on the list. This is where again, some interesting names starting to pop up because this is not a guy I thought we would see this high on a list of dynasty ranks. This is Kevin Byard of the Tennessee Titans. Addy, riddle me this. Has there ever been a more prototypical safety 2 for your IDP lineups than Kevin Byard? This dude very rarely craps your team. He's usually good for 1 to 2 games per season with 20 plus points. So that kind of weak winning upside. Here's what you like. Kevin Byard, by God, just like Justin Simmons, is going to be out there. 98.48% of snaps in 2020, most for the tight ones. In 2019, that number was 99.1%. In 2018, that number was 99.71%. All 3 years, that percentage led the team. I love him for redraft, but just like Justin Simmons, he'll be 28 here soon, and he is a great sell candidate.
Yes. Yes, I agree. But people sleep on him way too much, man. He's going like in drafts, he goes like in that defensive back, like 20 to 25 range. It seems now, I guess they're just getting bored with him. I don't know. But, last year he put up 111 tackles, across 16 games. And what else is different about last year? Sure. First year getting over 100 tackles. But look at the interceptions. Only 1. Previously, in 2019, he had 5. In 2018, he had 4. In 2017, he had 8. So this is a guy who I think we can expect the big plays to return. I think that just the 1 interception, that was just unlucky. It was just, that's just the way it goes.
Imagine if he had around his average, which would be about 4.5, 5 picks.
Yep.
My God, he could have been a safety 1.
Yep. Yeah. So, I love Byard. He didn't grade that great. 67.0, PFF grade, 63.9 coverage grade. He was 8th in the league among safeties with a 4.3 missed tackle percentage. So that's really good. But yeah, another thing I love about Kevin Byard, the way they use him. Look at these alignment snaps. He got 463 snaps in the box. Again, he's typically labeled as a free safety right? But 463 box snaps, 505 free safety snaps, 157 snaps in the slot. He had 25 out wide at corner, and he had 18 on the defensive line. So more than half of those snaps were in the box or in the slot.
In the slot, which is close to the line of scrimmage.
Exactly. So, man, you just I love that they're, you know, that Byard is just that type of player. Just it really speaks to his versatility that they can use him in that, you know, all over the field like that.
Yeah. Kevin Byard not getting the respect he deserves. Great safety two candidate, like we mentioned. I love having him, especially seeing these alignments, because that is a misconception I had. Like Justin Simmons, if Kevin tried to come up into the box, I thought they would just shoo him away. Mm-hmm. Jayon would be like, get out of here, bro. And he'd be like, sorry, Jayon. Yep.
Yeah,
Jayon's a Jayon. You know, he's not Jayon Brown. He's Jayon. But Kevin's more of a Kevin than Justin Simmons was a Justin.
Sure.
This is the kind of analysis you get when it's past midnight on a pod night.
I'm not even going to try and keep up with that. I'm like 4 or 5 marks deep over
here. I was going to say, I'm going to be taking you home after this.
Yeah, please, would you?
Can I sleep at your place tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Wife kicked me out. It's not a big deal, though. We're fine.
You can sleep with me.
All right, cool. Number 15, Landon Collins. He is 27 and a half years old, entering year 7, coming off a torn Achilles. Now, I will say, for redraft, this is the safety I'm most interested in for 2021. The Achilles, it does worry me. That is, it just saps your kind of explosiveness. So, yes, I do have concerns there. But if he is fully recovered, according to MFL ADP, since the NFL draft, Landon Collins is going as the safety 13. In 2019, Collins was safety 5 in 15 games. In 2018, he was safety 9 by points per game in 12 games. Going back to 2017, he was safety 9 in 15 games. My point is, he has always outperformed that ADP. He's coming off a torn Achilles, and when you combine that with his age of 27 and the emergence of Cameron Curl, I can understand seeing him here in dynasty ranks. But for redraft purposes, Collins is safely inside, I would say, the top 8, and will be widely drafted by me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree there. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, throughout his career, he's been 100+ tackler 4 different times. Only reason he wasn't in 2018 was because he missed 4 games, but that year he had 96 tackles. Of course, we know about last year being shortened because of that Achilles, so he only had 41 tackles in 7 games. But other than that, he's been over 100 tackles every year. He does seem to be one of these guys that is a really good pass rusher for a safety. That seems to be the strength of his game. But you know, I think at this point in his career, he's really not that special and he's kind of replaceable. So that gives me a lot of pause in dynasty, especially with Cameron Curl, how great he looked last year. And he actually graded much better than Landon Collins. Landon Collins had a 60.0 overall PFF grade. He had a 56.1 coverage grade, 33.8 tackle grade. But where he thrived was as a pass rusher, 94.1 pass rush grade. That was tops among safeties. So, again, though, very limited sample size. I wouldn't read too much into that. It was just, he did well in the limited snaps he got there.
Yeah. I want Curl for dynasty. We mentioned we got it a little backwards, you know, as far as the salary cap, when he could be cut and the dead money and all that.
Tiki Laundry.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Tiki Laundry. Toss you out with the tikis and the laundry. So, we've been corrected. It is next year that they can save a lot of cap by cutting Landon Collins. That is what I expect will happen because, you know, if he is replaceable, if he is closer to a Jag than an all-star, I think will move on knowing what they have in Cameron Curl. So, yeah, not a lot of these guys that we're getting into now, there's a reason you're seeing them down closer to the 20s on the dynasty ranks is because their pedigree and their redraft appeal pushes them up past a lot of, I would say, these. And that's where it gets tricky, I think, with dynasty ranks is how much do you factor in the appeal for 2021, right, versus projecting for the future, what we see from some of these younger guys.
Yep.
You know,
we still want to win our leagues if we have a
chance.
That's
right. You know, dynasty ranks shouldn't just be about having the best team on paper for 2023.
Yeah.
Right. It should be, this is a team that can win you a title. That's why you saw guys like Za'Darius Smith and Shaq Barrett mixed in with the top 20 defensive ends, is because, yeah, they're older, not super sexy for dynasty, but they're still good enough to the point that they belong on this list.
Yeah, and they're still worth something. They're still worth, you know, mid-round picks.
That's right. So next up here, another oldie but a goodie is Jordan Poyer, the Bills safety, entering his ninth year. He is 30.2 years old. Jordan Poyer, Eddie, has just been one of the most consistent safeties over the past decade. He reminds me a little bit of like the safety version of Bobby Wagner. You know, discount Bobby Wagner's whole career, you might say. Mm-hmm. He's just been set it and forget it. But he will be 31 this season. If you want to ride with him in Dynasty till the wheels fall off, go for it. I don't blame you. If you think you could still get value for Poyer, though, I think you could. I think Bobby's gotten value. If he was here tonight, I would have been like, right, Bob? And he'd have been like, yes, sir. Got lots of good value for Poyer.
No, you can definitely still get value for Poyer because, I mean, he's still being drafted as the top 10 safety, even though he is, you know, 30 years old at this point.
You nailed it. DB10 in ADP for IDP guys.
Yep. Over his last four seasons, he's averaged 106 tackles, 1.75 sacks, and 3.2 interceptions per year. On a per game basis, that's worked out to 13.3 points per game in 2020. That was good for safety 7, 11.3 in 2019. That was good for safety 18, 13.2 in 2018. That was safety 7, and then 15.2 points per game in 2017, safety 4. So, I mean, doesn't get much more consistent than that.
I mean, top 12 all but one season out of the past four.
Yep.
That's pretty damn good. So, not a guy I'm heavily targeting for Dynasty, but love him in redraft. Probably going to have to pay a safety one price for this guy, though.
Yep.
In your more casual kind of redraft leagues.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're getting any kind of discount on Jordan Poyer there.
Yeah. But I mean, I think you can still expect, you know, 115 plus tackles and a handful of big plays, you know, two or three sacks, two or three interceptions.
Yeah.
At least.
Past 4 years, it's been two sacks, one, two. Picks have been 5, 4, 2, 2. And the tackles, yeah, 95, 100, 107, 124. So yeah,
it's great.
Not a lot has changed in front of Jordan Poyer.
And only one missed game over that stretch in 4 years.
That's right. Yep. And that was in 2017. He played 15 games. So Tremaine Edmonds still there. Matt Milano's still there. Defensive lines
improved. They've been there. But they've been there. And
that defense is still pretty much the same.
Yep. And Matt Milano's proved that he has trouble staying healthy. Tremaine Edmonds could honestly be on the way out after, you know, after his option expires. We'll see. I mean, Jordan Poyer still should be very valuable, kind of like a Harrison Smith. I mean, he's just he's a really solid NFL player. He's been a focal point of that defense for a while now. He could still be very productive for 3 or 4 years. We see it with safeties all the time.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins, Harrison Smith, Antoine Bethea, tons of those types.
Bethea was just like the ultimate immortal safety.
They just last for a long time.
Yeah. And one thing I will say, this Buffalo defense feels like it will look a lot different in 2 or 3 years. I did see, speaking of our Gregory Russo sandwich bet, that Jerry Hughes is on the bubble as a potential surprise veteran cut for some of the beat writers in Buffalo.
It makes sense to me. I mean, with the, you know, all the competition they brought in there, all the young guys, I mean, yep.
You don't need like a 33-year-old Jerry Hughes at this point.
No, he'd be a great addition for somebody out there, but yeah. I mean, yeah.
You got younger talent, just get him out there.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next up, this is the first safety that we are going to get into where I got to admit, I have a little bit of regret. All right. So this is Kari Willis, Indianapolis Colts safety. He is 25 years old, entering his third year. He was safety 11 by points per game in 14 games in 2020, according to Fantasy Pros. Again, 25 years old. Now, I sold Kari Willis in the XFFL this offseason. I think we discussed that on another pod, but that was purely contract driven. I wasn't sure I was going to re-sign Willis. I had safety depth at the time, but damn, kind of regretting it now. Now stay away, Nico. Do not be in my DMs after this trying to sell me, you know, Kari Willis for Antoine Winfield or something. Willis and Julian Blackman, shout out Connie. Connie will be back here very soon, are going to ball out in 2021. The snaps are there. Look at the log. The log is very nice for Kari Willis. I'm calling it now that Willis is a top 10 safety in 2021. Book it, baby.
I love that. I love that. We've seen him get better every year. Last year, he averaged 12.8 points per game. But yeah, let's look at that log and let's look at the way he finished the year. So his last four games against Tennessee, he put up 13.25 points. Against Las Vegas, he put up 32 points. That was the first week of your fantasy playoffs. Week 15 against Houston, he put up 14.75 points. He had nine tackles and a forced fumble. And then against Pittsburgh, he put up 20.15 points, five tackles and a sack. So that's kind of what he does. He's not one of these huge tackle number guys, but he'll give you like, you know, between 5 to 8 tackles, but then he'll maybe give you a sack, maybe give you an interception. He seems to have a knack for making big plays. But I expect those tackle numbers to go up. And also, especially with Anthony Walker leaving town.
That's right.
I mean, there's a real chance we could see that year three leap.
Year three, just like the big three. Just keeps on leaping. Yeah, he only had he had two picks. He had a touchdown, so that definitely helps. He had two sacks last season. But yeah, 85 combined tackles. I just think he's going to be out there. Love, you know, the tandem there with him and Julian Blackman. And I just think this is the year where we're going to say, whoa, Kari Willis way exceeded expectations, because you have him here at DB 17. Mm-hmm. I think he has top 10 potential. And in dynasty drafts, he's going as DB 22. So the safety for the Falcons, Richie Grant, is still the best value I've seen on this list for where he could finish versus where he's going, which is DB 24. But man, Kari Willis is on that short list of really nice values.
For sure. Thinking about it right now, I feel like maybe he should be over Landon Collins.
I would not blame you if you put him above Collins.
That's it for now.
Yeah, Richie Grant was DB 25. So Grant is still number one in terms of values, but Kari Willis, I would put number two on
and Poyer as well. He should probably be 15 on this list, and then bump down Collins and Poyer, who were 15 and 16.
There you go. You're hearing it live. The thought process is unfolding.
And again, that's
beautiful mind.
That's why these shows are helpful, hopefully for you guys, but for us as well. It's nice to be able to talk through some of my ranks with people.
That's right. So let's move to number 18 now and talk about the other player there for the Washington football team. I did see where they've narrowed it down. The Washington football team has to like their new team name. It's not going to be, what was the one? The Red Wolves? Was that
Red Wolves? I like that.
Red Wolves, I think, is still on the list. There was one that a lot of people liked that got shot down.
Presidents.
Yeah. There was one that was came out right when they announced. I think it was the Red Tails. It was like Tuskegee Airmen, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Keep the same color scheme. They said it's not going to have any Native American imagery. It's like, obviously you don't have to tell us that, like, that's the reason you changed it in the first place.
Right.
But they have dragged this out for so long.
Yeah.
And of course they just got hit with this $10 million fine from the NFL for basically having just a disgusting workplace culture for decades under Dan Snyder, who's the worst owner in the NFL, far and away on the Mount Rushmore of terrible current NFL or sports owners in general.
Yeah.
So they're making all these positive strides. You know, they got Ron Rivera in the building, but that is just a shithole of an organization. Just plain and simple.
I know.
And sorry, guys, the name change that you've been hyping up for 2 years is not going to save you.
It's not very good.
It's going to buy you like a week of good, positive PR. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for them, though, to be like the Washington Blackfaces. And they're like, we said it wasn't Native American, you know, flush all this like positive sentiment down the toilet.
Yeah,
that's just something Snyder would do because he's a little weasel.
Yeah, he's I mean, we've always known he's the worst, but yeah, I mean, it was all confirmed in those reports. And also I saw where he's letting his wife or girlfriend now work in the organization.
Did she get demoted from wife to girlfriend?
I guess. Is he married, I guess?
I don't know. I assumed when I saw that it was, I think they share the same last name, so I'm assuming they're married, but
she's working though for the organization.
She got promoted into this position, and you could say, and it is, it's great to see a woman in this high ranking position, but you could also say, honey, go clean this shit up. I made a huge mess. Please go deal with this.
Yes.
I'm going to fade into the background here.
Yeah. Kind of a cop-out move.
Yeah. You wish that the NFL could force their hand to make them make Snyder sell the team. Like, if ever there was a time to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they pretty much forced Jerry Richardson out the door, the former Panthers owner, when he was making people sit on his lap and call him, what was it, Mr. Sir or something like that?
Yeah, that was weird. That was really weird.
He was a total just creeper.
But, you know, I mean, Washington's finally set up to maybe be okay now. I mean, that defense is the best in the NFL, and really they're just a quarterback away. So
it's true.
They could really see their franchise turn around with the new name change.
With the name change. That's it. That's the missing piece. Well, one place we know they are not deficient is at safety, because you have Landon Collins, who we've talked about. You also have Cameron Curl, 22 years old. I had to go back and give Curl some love. Dude, he was awesome in 2020.
Amazing.
From the time he took over as a full-time starter in week 9 against the Giants, he averaged 16.39 points per game. Those are borderline like LB1 numbers, Addy. Mm-hmm. He won a lot of people fantasy titles, which would make me think people have stars in their eyes about him, because anytime someone helps you win a title, I feel like he gets bumped up in ADP the next year. But at least for redraft, which are typically your more casual fantasy players, he's currently going as the safety 20, according to MFL ADP. So not the inflation I was expecting for Dynasty. He's just one tick up. He's DB19. I want Collins for 2021, and I want Curl for 2022 and beyond. The only hesitation, and it's dumb, and I hate to bring it up, but you have to when you're talking about Curl, is the draft capital is not there. So it always worries me, even when you see an awesome breakout like Curl come from out of nowhere, you just don't have that. I mean, we see guys get jobs that don't deserve jobs because they were a first round pick, and it works the same in reverse.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. So true. But you hope that maybe these guys have PFF subscriptions and are looking at the grades, because Cameron Curl, 68.4 overall defensive grade, 69.5 coverage grade, and compare that with Landon Collins. Like we mentioned, I mean, he graded out much better. I mean, Collins had a 60.0 overall defensive grade and a 56.1 coverage grade. So, yeah, Cameron Curl was just absolutely nuts. Let's look at that log real quick. So, week 9, 24 points. Week 10, 21 points. Week 11, 11 points. Week 12, 8.5 points. Week 13, 9.5 points. Week 14, week 1 of your fantasy playoffs, 38.35 points.
Thank you, Cameron. I will be moving on to round 2.
I remember I had Cameron Curl and Kari Willis in a league. And both of them went nuts week 14. That was nice. Week 15, I had 9. Week 16, I had 20. And then week 17, Cameron Curl had 14. I think I was saying I had
20. I had it. I was out there. I am Cameron Curl. Surprise.
That's right.
Yeah, Curl was just awesome. I mean, that's one of the best-looking logs I have seen.
Yeah, that's
all offseason.
It was Jamal Adams, Jabril Peppers, Cameron Curl. Those were the three best safeties down the stretch.
Yep. So you see Curl as a buy candidate?
I think so. Yeah. And I really like that, you know, defensive back 20 range for him. I mean, that's great. You're really, you know, not a lot of risk at that point. I mean, you're talking about drafting around guys like, Legarius Sneed and, Keanu Neal. And yeah, I love the upside there.
Yeah, I can tell you who is going around him. It's Jonathan Abram, DB21.
The guy that just saw two safeties come in. No thanks.
Yeah, so you have DB20 was Javon Holland, rookie.
I like him.
Yeah, like him a lot. Keanu Neal, DB18. We'll talk about him a little later, I think, maybe.
He's coming up.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I love Cameron Curl. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think we just don't know. We don't know how that investment is going to pay off for 2021. So that is the gamble. But in terms of dynasty, I think he's a safe buy.
Yep.
So next up on the list, another one of our favorites. I remember having this initial conversation last season, like midway through the season, maybe. I was like, yeah, I kind of like this L'Jarius Sneed guy. Mm-hmm. And I have to give credit where credit is due. It was just, I think, one of the waiver articles, maybe from Kyle B or somebody else over at IDP Guys, was talking up L'Jarius. No, it may have been like Tom K. Like, hey, I usually check his article every week to see like who's getting snaps that you maybe didn't expect to get snaps. And he was talking up Cameron Curl. So shout out to the IDP community. I know one of y'all put me on to L'Jarius Sneed, and he comes in at 19, the Kansas City cornerback. He is our second cornerback on the list, 24.4 years old, 13.4 points per game in 2020. Yet according to IDP Guys Dynasty ADP, man, he's not being selected inside the top 60 DBs. So sorry, Richie Grant, you have been usurped as the best value for DBs in your draft. Sneed is a screaming value at DB 19, not being drafted inside the top 60, Addy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, last year, you know, only 9 games, that was 38% of the defensive snaps, was 410 snaps. He put up 41 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 interceptions, 7 pass defended. Just one of those stat sheet stuffer types. Just love to see, you know, love to see that from year one. He was a 4th round pick, but truly was their, you know, was their rookie pick that flashed the most. And he was productive in the Super Bowl. I think he had a sack in the Super Bowl. Just love L'Jarius Sneed getting used all over the field, playing box, playing slot, playing out wide. Yeah, just big fan of L'Jarius. I'm expecting big things in year two as well.
It's a good litmus test for who's paying attention in IDP circles. You know, kind of like the Za'Darius Smith. If you see a guy drafting Za'Darius Smith like 5 rounds later than he should have gone, A, that dude has lots of sex, and sure, he's paying attention to IDP podcasts and articles and, you know, good resources in the off season. So go grab L'Jarius Sneed and be blessed. Another guy that's going to bless your lineups is number 20 on the list, our third and final cornerback, Kenny Moore the second. So Sneed is outside the top 60 DBs. We mentioned that. Moore, by comparison, DB 28, which is probably still too low. You've got him here at 20, and I think that's appropriate for his rank. In 2018 and 2020, his average was about 5 tackles per game. So if he plays 17 games, that's 85 tackles. He'll be 26 this season. He's one of the 3 cornerbacks I am happy to draft alongside safeties, especially with that 85 tackle, you know, average. I don't want to say floor. I think the floor could be a little lower, but if he's getting me 85 tackles out of my cornerback slot, I am mucho happy with that.
Yep. Yep. We have 3 years of data telling us Kenny Moore is a baller on a per game basis. Like Josh mentioned, 13.1 points per game in 2020, 12.3 in 2019 and 2018 as well. So this is not his first rodeo, nor will it be his last. We love you, Kenny. Let's also look at the alignment snaps though. Like I mentioned,
please do
his versatility. Not nearly used like, well, that's not true. I'm looking at the wrong one. So, okay, here we go. Defensive line. He had 41 snaps on the line. He had 131 in the box. He had 13 at free safety. He had 695 at slot. So he's a slot cornerback primarily. And then he had 131 out wide. So that's been the common thread with all these cornerbacks we've had ranked high. Kenny Moore, L'Jarius Sneed, who was the first one? Marlon Humphrey. All those guys are getting a large amount of snaps at slot. So that's something I think we need to be paying attention to going forward.
Those slot cornerbacks.
Yes, sir.
That's where we want them from.
We don't want them just, we don't want just the exclusive ones. We don't want just a guy that just comes in, you know.
I want them exclusive.
No, you don't now,
don't
Josh.
Leave that slot.
No, Kenny. You don't now.
Is Kenny a Kenny? It feels a little.
He's not a Kenny.
He's not a Kenny. Yeah, I don't think it works.
No.
Nope. Sorry, Kenny. But we do thank you and we love you, Kenny.
Yes, sir.
All right. We mentioned him just a second ago. Keanu Neal clocks in at 21, the new Dallas Cowboys linebacker safety. So that's where my take comes down here, Addy. 25.9 years old. This is real simple. I'm going to lay it out here clear as mud. You ready? If Tom Kislingberry's prediction comes true and Keanu Neal plays the box safety role, I will happily draft him at safety 15 in redraft or safety 18 in dynasty. But if he truly plays linebacker as the Cowboys are leading us to believe, I'm taking Tripp's advice. I'm out. I'm not saying Neal wouldn't be a good linebacker. It's just, as we've mentioned before, how crowded that linebacker room is. With Dan Quinn as the Cowboys' new defensive coordinator, I have to imagine with him knowing Keanu Neal's strengths and knowing the linebackers he has on this roster that Neal is going to play safety. This is one of the most important storylines to track during training camp. Pay attention. Listen to the beat writers and what they're saying about how Keanu Neal is being deployed and draft accordingly.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think he's going to be used in the safety role. I mean, it just makes too much sense. He's, you know, Dan Quinn already knows what he's good at. He's going to probably use him how he used him last year. But, you know, it was great seeing Keanu Neal back and healthy, flying around the field again. Played 85% of the defensive snaps. Averaged 11.3 points per game. He had 9 games of 7-plus tackles. Like Keanu Neal, but he's not someone, he's in that range where you got to draft him as like a top, you know, I'd say he's going like safety 15 to 20 right now. So for me, I'm waiting again. I just don't want to, we know about the injury history. It still does kind of bother me, even though he played last year and made it out okay. It's still just too rich for me to take him that high. And, you know, before like, round 20.
That's surprising. His ADP is, you're not getting any kind of discount. No injury discount. No positional usage discount.
It was the same with last year. Honestly, it may be. I mean, his ADP may be even, you know, I think last year might have been higher. People weren't, you know, people didn't seem to mind at all that he'd missed the previous two.
Yeah, I'm looking at his tackle numbers from 2018 and 2019. It's so sad. 2018 was 2 tackles. 2019 was 14. He played 3 games in 2019, 1 game in 2018.
Yeah, but that's a good point. I mean, in the you know, seasons where he played more than 14, I mean, he had 100 tackles all 3 years.
That's so right. It's just too much ambiguity right now.
Yep.
The switch and the positional murkiness, I'm just staying away.
Yep.
So, number 22, Addy, this is a player I'll be curious your take on because we saw some hotness coming off the Twitter sphere from John Macri. This is Kyle Duggar of the New England Patriots, 25.3 years old. This is a little known fact. I don't draft Patriots on any of my teams as a matter of principle. Is this a sound fantasy strategy? Not at all. But I got to do me. So Duggar falls into a fantasy blind spot for me a little bit because I don't really study Patriots players at all because I know I'm not going to draft them. But we know our boy John Macri is a fan. Check out his recent tweet about Duggar being top 24 in several important categories after taking over as a starter in week 10. If Macri is calling for a year 2 leap, Addy, by God, Kyle Duggar is going to be leaping.
Yeah, I love Duggar. He played 297 of his 550 snaps in the box. 94 were in the slot, 34 on the defensive line, 43 at corner. So super versatile player, fits in great there with Belichick. And, you know, despite only playing 51% of the defensive snaps, he still managed to put up 64 tackles. So seems like one of those types that's got a nose for the ball. Love that efficiency, graded out pretty solid for a rookie. I mean, 64.1 overall PFF grade, graded out at 80.4 as a pass rusher. I like Kyle Duggar. I'm very excited to see what he does in year 2. It was a little surprising to me, his age. He's 25 already. So he was one of these guys that was, kind of, you know, stayed in school a little bit longer.
Was he a fifth year guy?
I think he was a fifth year guy. Yeah. Went to a smaller school. I think it was like Lenore.
Yeah. Lenore Ryan.
Yeah. But yeah, I like Kyle Duggar. We saw what, you know, how great Adrian Phillips was last year. And remember, Phillips is already over 30. So I think that they're going to want to give Duggar a lot more snaps and more playing time. So, he's one of my favorite targets in the later rounds.
Is he the most appealing Patriots IDP asset?
I think so.
You have Chase Winovich, but he got jerked around.
Right.
You have a lot of new talent coming in there from the free agent market. You have Matthew Judon signed a fat contract.
He's interesting, but yeah.
Cal Van Noy's back.
Yeah, right.
You have the other linebacker who's back there from the COVID list. They had a lot of guys opt out due to COVID.
Yeah, Hightower.
Patrick Chung retired.
Yeah.
Dante Hightower. Yeah, but I think it's Kyle Duggar.
I think so, too.
Especially with, you know, the fact that probably still being overlooked. Let me see if actually he is being taken. Yeah, so he's actually going as DB44. So another great value in Dynasty drafts. Kyle Duggar being taken about twice as late as what he should be, according to your list, Addy. Number 22 on the list here and going as DB44.
Wow.
Go get him. All right, couple more, Addy. And this one, man, did this one hurt? I just have to ask. When you type this name out at 23, did you cry a little bit?
It stinks. Definitely one of the lower moments of 2020.
Of my life.
Yeah, it was probably this call than coronavirus.
Yes. Tracy Walker. 23 of the Detroit Lions. He's 26.4 years old. Redraft players, by God, they are out on Tracy Walker. He didn't even crack the top 27 of MFL's ADP data. In Dynasty, though, he's still safety 15. What was interesting to me reading John's article was that PFF has Walker projected for the third most solo tackles amongst DBs. So the floor is there, Addy, to project a nice bounce back. But in Dynasty, I'm not buying at that price. If he drops outside the safety 20 range, I'll be back in.
Yeah, agreed. The price is still pretty steep for Tracy. But the question is, can he get back to his 2019 ways where he was averaging 13.7 points per game? This was sixth best among safeties. Here's what we know. He's been working his ass off. It seems like every single day on the gram.
Wait, is this an episode of Who Been Working?
Basically, yes. Okay. Yes, a mini one. He looks great. He's in a contract year. So, I mean, obviously, once he get paid, got to think he's motivated. He says he's happy, right, based on the stories and quotes we've heard out of a lot of, you know, different Detroit Lions. Tracy was pretty miserable under Patricia. I think it was it reported that he didn't want them, like, smiling or laughing or something?
Yeah. That sounds like old sit up straight and take your job seriously, Patricia. Yeah. And looking like Gimli from Lord of the Rings ass over there.
Right. And that's just not the type of guy Tracy is. So, you know, that's not a good environment for someone like that. And I think last year you saw what you saw because of that. So now Tracy has a new defensive coordinator in Aaron Glenn, who, remember, he's coming over from the Saints, where he is used to aggressive safeties, corners like Malcolm Jenkins, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Marcus Williams, you know, guys that he can be creative with and how he deploys them. And I think this bodes very well for Tracy, you know, someone that is very versatile himself, but he's also probably the best defensive, probably the best blitzing defensive back on the team. So I like that for Tracy, but also very encouraged with how he finished the year, despite his playing time being so up and down. So remember, even though he only played 67% of the defensive snaps, he still had 87 tackles. But listen to his final 2 weeks, where he averaged 20 points per game. He racked up 22 sacks. I'm sorry, he racked up 22 tackles in one sack while playing 100% of the snaps week 16 and 17.
This is what an axiom I learned from the Ballers I really like is don't log out of the season once you're eliminated from contention.
Yeah.
Because that's when stuff like this happens where you're like, new coaching staff. So it kind of diminishes the appeal of this data a little bit, but the coaches, if they're watching the cut-ups of the film of Tracy Walker from week 16 and 17, are they going, damn, we got a special player here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're seeing a guy that's frequently making plays. I mean, he's out of what they got, I mean, which is not a lot, he seems to be the most talented.
We can't say that the Lions have the biggest upgrade in terms of happiness with their new head coach, because that belongs to the New York Jets, flushing old Adam Gase's ass down the toilet.
But man, I mean, that Patricia's is splitting hairs.
Is a very close second. It's a 1A, 1B type situation.
Gase versus Pencil Boy, that's a poll right there.
Ooh, put that poll up on Twitter.
That needs to be a poll.
Who's the coach you'd least want to play for in the NFL?
Yep.
Pencil Boy or Peyton Manning's greatest accomplishment? Truly, I think getting that dude hired for multiple head coaching gigs is Peyton Manning's greatest accomplishment. Forget the Super Bowls and the Hall of Fame career. That is your best, Peyton. Good job. Wrapping up here, one of the gold standards of the DB position for many, many years. This is Harrison Smith, the Minnesota Vikings, 32.4 years old, entering his 10th season. Harrison, I love him. I've had him on many of my rosters. He is so solid. Now, he took a slight step back last year, DB15, but before that, he was, and this is insane, DB7 in 2019, DB8 in 2018, and DB8 in 2017. So, right around that, like, back end, getting close to the back end of the DB1 ranks, he is set to be a free agent in 2022, so he's off my dynasty radar entirely, but in redraft, he is a great safety 2 option. This is the type of player I was mentioning when I said, if you want to go Marlon Humphrey as your DB1 and you punt the position, grab someone like Harrison Smith that is going to help you shore up that position a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned him taking a step back last year from a fantasy perspective. And it's true. 11.6 points per game in 2020. This was 26th best among DBs. From 2019 to 2017, on a per game basis, he was never worse than DB13, and he averaged 13.1 points per game over that span. So, very weird year in Minnesota last year. You know, no interior, no Hunter, no Bar. I'm expecting a big Harrison Smith bounce back, and I'm ready for maybe one last dance.
Save the last dance.
Save the last dance.
You remember that movie?
Oh, I love it.
Was that middle school or high school when that came out?
Give me chills.
I know I was saving some last dances after chills. I saw that. Never forget.
Oh, man. No, amen, Lord. Thank you.
Is it never forget or never remember if I can't even remember when it came out?
I don't know. It was.
We are old, though. We were in school. I remember that.
Yeah. That was a long time
ago. Hey, I went to the movie theater for the first time since, I want to say, 2019 this past weekend.
How was it?
It sucked. But it's because we have a terrible couple of movie theaters in Bowling Green. So for knowing the level of suckage going in, it was fine. I will say, it was Black Widow, it was opening weekend. This is Marvel, right? This is Marvel's big return to the big screen. There was like 15 people in my theater.
Wow.
Like usually like you're having to buy tickets in advance, you know, a week in advance just to make sure you don't get sold out.
Wow.
So I don't think people are going back to the movies. I don't know if you saw this. Kind of interesting. A little off topic here. That movie did like, I want to say like close to 200 million. It's opening weekend.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
The splits, like it was 80 domestic, 70 something international, and 60 from streaming.
Damn.
So stream, if you want to know
future.
If you want to know the future of movies, people, it is absolutely streaming simultaneously. Charging $30 to rent it and, you know, a theater release as well.
Is that what it costs? $30 to
$30 to rent Black Widow.
Yeah,
it's Disney Premier Access is what they call it.
Makes a lot of sense to me to do that.
Absolutely.
You know,
Disney's smart. If they say, we just made $60 million in one weekend from one movie on the app that we own and get all the money from. Keep that in mind, too. 100% of the revenue from that goes into Disney's pocket. About half of the theater revenue goes into Disney's pocket. So they actually made more money streaming it on Disney Plus.
So that's not great for the movie theaters.
Yeah. Hopefully both of our theaters will shut down here and then we can have like one nice theater rise from the ashes like a phoenix.
Yeah. Movie theaters, though, that's not going to be a thing probably going forward.
I don't think so. I think it'll be a very boutique kind of like leather couches, like really good food, great bar.
Yeah.
Kind of like an experience.
Yeah.
You know, the commoditization of theaters, I think, has come to an end, which is good. I don't know how we got here with Harrison Smith, but so you said One Last Dance. I agree. Go get you Harrison Smith. Enjoy that last dance. Hold him tight. Don't get too close, though, because if it's anything like our middle school dances, the weird science teacher is coming around with the yardstick, making sure you stay 3 feet apart. What is it? Some people say keep enough room for Jesus.
That's right. Shout out Mr. Reader.
You were a real one at the middle school dances at Drake's Creek Middle School.
Hope you're doing okay.
I hope he's doing okay. He was a smoker, though, so I don't know if he's still with us.
Yeah, probably not.
All right, Addy, we did it. By God, it's 12:45 here. Yep. On Wednesday night.
You've we did it. Full day of golf. We did it. It's been a long, long night. And then the margs have worn off, so I'm very tired.
I was going to say, you look like you may just fall asleep here in the Soad Shack.
Yeah, so sorry if the energy was a little low maybe halfway through the second one. But
So Legereus Sneed. Let me tell you about him.
It's 12:45 here, guys.
Yeah, guys, we have our work.
I have to get up for work in less than 6 hours. So.
All right, so we're going to get the hell out of here before Addy just calls in sick tomorrow. Sorry, Addy's place of employment.
No, sir.
He has a bad case of the margs.
No, sir. Margs can never stop me.
You watch. Bleh.
Hey, Tina. I'm used to it.
Just blow chunks all over your secretary. Do you have a secretary?
No, I don't.
Got to work on that.
I know. Loser.
That's the next step for you in your career, I feel like.
Yep. Once I clean up that ratio, I have no doubt I'll get a secretary.
Once I get to 500,000, guys, come on, we're closing in.
That's right.
Getting closer. All right, y'all. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget, Wednesday is our 2-year birthday, and we got our flag plant episode. I promise you are not going to want to miss that. If for some reason you've been tuning out and just not listening this off season, it's time to pick back up. The flag plant is where it's at. And then, like I said, on Friday, we have the Big Game Theory podcast debut with Evan Ronda. Going to be about 20 minutes long. Going to get you right and get you prepped for your drafts and for your fantasy seasons. Shout out to our patrons and our listener league participants. We love and appreciate y'all. Until Wednesday on our birthday, make sure you come wish us a happy birthday in the DMs. For Addy, this is Josh. We will talk at y'all later.
This is Big 3 IGP.